Hi, and welcome back to Fully Boosted. This is episode 83. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
I'm Pete.
And we are back after a little hiatus. Got stuff's going on. Missed, what, 1 week? 3 weeks?
Just 1 week.
Yeah. Feels like, just a lot of weeks. Yeah. So, a couple things real quick. The registration for the Bocor Brawl is up. So, teams have already started registering. So, that's the weekend of the 13th, I think, is the Saturday of October. And you can go to the BocorBrawl.com, check that out. We have the...
I believe at last count, there was 20 of 32 teams registered.
Okay.
So that is super exciting news.
Yeah, Seth gave me a number. It was 20 or 24. So the... while the registration's live, I don't want to kind of gloss over that. If you're planning on going, I would look to register sooner than later.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we said that before it even started. Like, we're expecting this to sell out. So definitely do it sooner rather than later if you're going to go. We also have the first event of the Liberty Brawl this Sunday at Red Caps in Philadelphia. So if you're interested in being a part of that, I think we're expecting, what, 3 to qualify from that?
Yeah, maybe 3 qualifiers. So, like, these events, when we talk about Liberty Brawl, are really kind of local stuff to us, so it doesn't apply to many. Whereas, like, the Bocor Brawl, even though it's local to us, hopefully one day will be, like, the scale of a convention. Whereas Liberty Brawl is just a tournament series in your area. If you want to reach out to us, we're happy to go over how we're running it, so you can try and run one in your area. But this one's a little bit more localized and not something that people should be looking to travel an exorbitant distance to.
Nope, that's fair, but we do have a good amount of listeners in this area, so I felt like it was at least worth mentioning that was happening this weekend. But
you are
correct. So Pete, I'll start with you because this was kind of your idea, and I think it's something we haven't done in a long time, and so I'll let you explain it.
Yep. So one of the hard things of podcasting every week is coming up with topics. And one of the things I noticed, because I do consume pretty much all of the podcasts that are out there, and it's been kind of cool too, just to give a quick shout out to the new casts that are coming up and coming out. It feels like we're having kind of a mini reinvigoration of War Machine. There's like 3 or 4 new podcasts that have come out, and I'm noticing there's 1 or 2 new Battle Report channels that are popping up on YouTube, so it's kind of cool. But what one of the traditional things of most of the podcasts is, as player or as the host introduce themselves, they also introduce the factions that they play, and that's one of the things that we haven't done. Obviously, Brad is a infamous Krix player, and Grant, you've saddled up with Signar, but. You know, I definitely flip-flop around, and I know Ryan is a flip-flopper. So I figured it'd be kind of cool to just kind of have a state of Fully Boosted episode. Basically, we're at the halfway mark of the year. You could go back and kind of look at in January or in December, we did kind of our goals. It would have been smart if I would have pulled those up. But I remember what some of my goals were. So I figured let's just do a state of us.
Sounds good. Well, you want to start us off since this was your baby?
Yeah. So originally back in December, I was playing trolls. I've since moved on to minions, so any of my troll goals are now out the window. So I'm definitely working on minions for right now. I've had a lot of success with Maelok Barney 2 as a pair. But what I'm basically looking at now is branching out. So I feel like Maelok is going to be a good anchor for any type of list pair. Now, I was told that Maelok is solved, which I found was interesting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I'm curious to see if that's true. But so 4 pairs, I'm looking at either changing up what the Barney 2 was and going more of almost like a Barney 2 zoo with all of the lessers. Mm-hmm. Or looking at Barnabas, or, of course, trying to figure out Arcadius. Wait, not Barnabas. Jaga Jaga. So my three choices are going to be Barnabas 2 with the zoo, Jaga Jaga in a double Croak Raider with a battle engine. So kind of an anti-Crix build. Or looking at Arcadius with either the zoo or just a shit ton of beasts.
I like it. But you've been doing fairly well with Maelok. You just feel that because everyone's saying he's solved.
No, like I said, I think Maelok is going to stay one of my cornerstones. Cause he is a sweeper. So I'm looking for that pivot. And I've been told by people that Barnabas can be a pivot. The problem I'm looking at is it's a double melee list. Neither one of them have guns. And so I'm really looking at Jaga Jaga to bring some guns to the table, because not only is she going to be, bringing a battle engine, but you've got the two units of, Croak Raiders, and Signs Importance Croak Raiders are just gross.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound fun at all.
the main issue I can see is just trying to deliver them. So it's going to be an interesting ride to try to figure those two out. So I don't know if I gave away some tech for the Liberty Brawl, but that's definitely, it's looking more and more like that's what I'm going to be playing as my pair.
All right, hold on. I got to finish writing that down so I can plan my pair. Okay, great. Let's move on. So how many games do you think you got in? Because you kind of got on the Minions train somewhat recently. How many games would you say you had in with Maelok?
I did my 25th game with Maelok.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. That was last weekend at Store Wars down in Huzzah Hobbies.
Sweet. Ryan, let's go to you next, because I think yours is interesting.
Why is mine interesting?
Well, because I think of the four of us, I think your schedule has been the most complicated, and I think you're getting the least amount of games in. So I'm more curious to see where your head is at for the game than any of us.
I've played a lot of Battletech.
No, that's next week's podcast, remember?
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks, that's two right. Weeks,
yeah.
That's
oh.
Yeah, okay. Next week's Blood Bowl, then Battletech, and then something else.
No, I have played a ton of Theory Machine. I just recently got it where I figured out a bribery / entertainment system to keep my two kids busy while I was at the store. So hopefully I can actually start getting games in. I mean, I've gotten one game in since the last convention we were at. Two games in. No, I got one in against you. I got one in against you, and I got one in against Brad, and I think that was it.
No, you've played Jim, and you've played more than one against me since the Sioux. But it's I would say you might be less than five games since the Southern Ontario Open. Yes, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely an odd spot for me. Considering I think if we were to pull that goal sheet up, I was at the. When we made those goals, I was at the point where it was like, I can just play so many games and just, you know, and life was just like, no, you can't. I've had a lot of fun. It's odd that I may finally have found the casual War Machine move. I always had trouble playing games casually before, and it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, because this time it's out of necessity, not out of choice. It's not your choice, it's just because
not
that's
like I'm
what's
just
working.
To turn the gas off, it's just that there's no choice to turn on. I don't know, I still think the game's in an interesting place. I mean, to be fair, I play Trolls, I have Convergence, which is going to be a little interesting once the Crucible Guard comes out and they get a new caster. And I used to play Kador, which Kador is in a really interesting and new spot, and I've had a lot of fun playing Theorycraft, a lot of Theorycraft, but that's where I'm at. Trolls are still my go-to right now. I'm still having a lot of fun with them.
What list pair are you working on for Trolls?
Right now, I've just had a lot of fun with Bristle 2 and a Mountain King.
Okay,
it's a Storm of the North list. I think it's a pretty standard list now. Double bears, champion, you know, the max champion package, and then instead of double bomber, it's a Mountain King, and lookouts.
Okay.
I've got fish sticks in there, and I've got the gobbers just as an extra scoring unit. They're actually really – they can be really good for Grizzle because she likes – because I don't have a bomber, I'm not using the gun from further back. I only use that. It's like a last-ditch kind of effort, or I'm trying to clear off the Mountain King with it. So having that cloud can be really useful to hide the caster, just the caster behind. Past that, it's just stuff that's not really supposed to go fast that goes really fast, because when you add a cold stone and dash together, those speed 7 champs with reposition 3 on feet turn are a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Really something, gross.
Something you just don't expect champions to do. And then between her, if you can get them under the stone, and then they get unyielding, and with the changes to unyielding, it can just be a really odd, okay, there, here's a bunch of armor 20 champs with your defense 14, and by the way, they're speed 7. So, and you're not going to be able to tie them up because they're going to be immune to free strikes next turn. So, like, it adds an interesting quandary. And then the Mountain King with her is just fun to just jam it down people's throats. And it's like, okay, you can kill that Mountain King, but then my bears and my champions are going to eat you. So it's got a lot of vectors. It's just a fun list. And then I've been pairing that with Berka, though, to be honest with you, it's paired with Berka, and I love pretty much all the flavors of the POD Berka lists. But that hasn't seen a lot of table time, because I enjoy the Gristle list. It's just a fun list.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen you put Berka on the table at all, I don't think. Maybe once or twice.
No, it's that list. The Gristle list is like the old Butcher 3 list that I used to run. It's strong, but it's just fun. It's dynamic. You can do a lot of stuff. And it just, at any point, if you don't respect it, it will just kill you. Because Gristle will move up, knock you down, and then you will get shot multiple times by a map.
So let me ask you this then. Is everything remaining crazy for you? Or is the tournament scene look like it may be a possibility for you in the near future?
Well, I'm definitely, let me work in getting just some games in first.
Sure. That's
the first part, obviously. As far as the tournament scene goes, like, I was going to try to get out to, there's a local event in Philly, that I was going to try to do, but I got to try to find a babysitter for that, because I can't take the kids up there. But, I don't know. I'd love to say yes, but we'll see. It's all just got to line up right.
All right. Brad, you want to go?
Yeah, no, sure, I'd love to. So while you guys were talking, I know Pete said he mentioned the beginning of the year. I pulled up my Iron Grudge and just set it to only look at the game starting from January 1st to now. From that span, so in 6 months, I've played 132 games, with the notable thing being that just shy of 50, 49 to be exact, of those games being...
being what? I'm sorry, I cut out on my...
Being on just shy of 50 games, 49 to be exact, on Lich 1.
Lich 1, yeah, that's what I figured you said.
The next highest is Denegra 2, and then behind that is Terminus. So that's what I've at least been playing primarily this year. I've been... list building and talking a lot about different Slaughter Fleet lists. So I've been doing a lot of Theory Machine with that. I've done a couple test games to where I'm proxying a handful of models before they're table ready. One of those was against you. I've played a couple others. When I say you, I mean Grant, but a couple of those others were out like in the areas closer to Philly. I think that list is tremendously powerful, at least for what I'm sticking with right now. I don't want to get on the Lich 3 bandwagon. I think the list is one, tremendously powerful, but two, I think it's in line to receive potential adjustments. Some would call those nerfs.
yeah. Yep. Isn't getting powered up, I don't believe.
No.
So.
What those changes might be is really up in the air, but it's a list that you can pick up and learn fairly quickly. There'll be some matchups that are more nuanced than others, but against most balanced lists that aren't designed as like a dedicated drop into Blitz 3-9 Slayers, a good handful of times you can just kind of move your models forward without too much care or forethought and be able to clear zones and win out in scenario and just generally bully the table. And anytime that list exists, I don't really think it should. I think SCAR 1 is close to doing the same thing, but at least the list that's fairly popular with SCAR 1 with the double Wraith engines and the two units, it's fairly low on model count, so losing either the Wraith engines or neutralizing them is a little bit of a hindrance. The difference at Lich 3 is even though it's low model count, you have 9 models that are doing work every turn. Lich 3, if you commit them forward at the table and you have your arc nodes, which you can usually shoot things. But for the most part, you have 9 models doing work. Killing any one of those in particular, doesn't really slow him down. You have to reach a tipping point to where he has less slayers, or they have less slayers, because anyone can play, it doesn't have to be a guy, but to where they have less slayers than the amount of work they need to do with them. Which is tough to arrive at that point.
Sure.
I was going to make the change, because Trish has been playing this list a lot, mm-hmm. I would remove, it was at the tip of my tongue,
Carapace?
Not Full Throttle.
You're talking about.
Off of Gatsby 3. Mobility. I would remove mobility and give him Boundless Charge.
Yeah, so a couple changes I would consider, and I actually don't think Boundless Charge is the way you want to go. I think if you're making changes to Lich 3, and specifically a list that interacts with Black Industries, I think his feat's probably fine. I think Vociferon's fine. The Unyielding is now stacking benefits across a large handful of models, so maybe Unyielding changes and forces them to play a little bit more aggressively. Either you lose Unyielding, maybe it changes to something else. Something else I could consider is maybe just Unyielding in this command range, similar to like Gorshade 1's Darkstrodden Stealth with Shadowmancer in his command range to force him up the table, make him play a little bit more what's the word I'm looking for? Like a little riskier. Yeah. Another thing, I think the bigger thing on the mobility rather than the speed buff, because the speed buff is great because it doubles when you run, of course, but I think the bigger thing is really Pathfinder. You can't leverage terrain against Lich 3, which is really rough, or you can't leverage it well. If you deny landing spots behind a wall, Slayers can't get to everything because they have to get it in melee. But like being able to charge over rough terrain is
with the additional movement that lets them get
right
maybe like, over that wall or somewhere that they probably may not have been able to otherwise.
Right, like
they get plus 2 inches on their deployment zone too, right?
They do, yeah. But that's fairly common with
with a jack or
But not with speed 8 jacks. Ignore terrain.
No, agreed. That is very true. I mean. Yeah, you're correct. I think something I would consider is maybe switching mobility to escort, especially if you do the other thing I kind of threw out there with Unyielding only in his command range. Now it makes this kind of synergistic combo to where Lich has to play a little bit farther forward, but is a little bit more resilient armor-wise because of it.
You can kill
the jack next to him, then he gets weaker again.
Yeah, no.
It also denies Pathfinder. It doesn't double when you run. I think that's a potential. I think just mobility to escort's probably a good one. Another, and this is a fairly simple change because it doesn't allow points to slot up as easily anymore, is just make Slayers 11 points. They're a bit of a bargain for 10. They do a lot with the amount of initials they have with combo strike at mat 7. Their armor and grids are pretty blasé, but with Unyielding they get better. But the one thing to keep in mind, and this is similar to like what happened with Una 2 or Mad Dogs, is there's usually a caster that turns a spammable thing to 11. So usually, I mean, if you're not seeing Slayer spam with other casters, then it's not a problem with the Slayer. So maybe the Slayer's fine. I think if you make those two changes to Gatsby, it might be enough, but I could still see with those two changes, you're still playing 9 Slayers and the list still being functionally okay. All you really lost was Pathfinder and 2 inches on your turn 1 run. And is that enough? Maybe not. So I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting balancing act. I do think, though, that list is not only likely to get adjusted, but is probably deserving so of having that happen as well.
Hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, are you going to continue on your Lich 1? Because, you know, originally you said you weren't going to play Gatsby 3.
Yeah, so I don't want to, only because I don't expect the list to remain in its current strength of power. I still really enjoy Scourge lists. I think Scourge lists are astounding. One of my favorite units in Mark II was the Texas Raiders. I think even for all the things they lost to now are still very good. I think Gunslingers are great. I think they're really only probably worth the amount of emphasis I'm putting on them with, like, Lich 1 or Denegra 1. You know, I think there's a chance for other Parasite casters to make them worth it, but they really sing with the armor debuff. Lich doesn't bring a mat fixer or a rat fixer for that matter, so I'm really kind of leveraging Raider captains to get me knockdowns. I think other casters, maybe, and this is just me spitballing real quick, but like a Denegra 3 where you can get Scourge and Mortality on the things can probably turn them up pretty good. But I think Gunslinger is very good, but they need help being as good as they can be. I like Dark Host. Dark Host is just very good. I think Slaughter Fleet is very good, but I don't think you want to pair Slaughter Fleet and Scourge together because it's just a massive power 11 attacks, so you have a chance to struggle into high armor things.
I don't know. I mean, as long as you're taking a list similar to the one that you played into me the other day, I don't know that high armor is necessarily an issue for the Scourge list. I had a pretty specific, because it wasn't like high armor in like a champs brick where there's a ton of targets, but
It's good. The problem matchups you have are like there's times when you can't always fix all the armor you want to. Grimkin can be a problem, especially with the Ruin Arcana. So they take Ruin, they have Dark Menagerie, so they'll have corpses on Cage Raiders, so they have Arcane Vortexes and Ruins. With any caster not Lich 1, you usually can't get your armor debuffs through. The only reason Lich 1 can is assuming you want to blow your feet for it, you can Parasite, they ruin, you can Parasite, they can Vortex your feet, and you can Parasite again, and if you really need to, you can Parasite for a fourth time. So you can usually get it through if they're willing to spend all their resources and you're willing to spend your feet to do so. He's probably the only caster that can. Notable things that can also happen, you can usually kind of get Scything Touch where you need it by casting on something outside the caster's control range and then running it to where you need it. So Scything Touch usually is pretty easy to land. So that is what Iacus 2 and Lich 1. I don't know if anyone else has Scything Touch, top of my head. So the armor debuffs are good, but the lists that are resilient to opponent spellcasting, be it like a Resnik 2, to where Lamentation's up and the Jacks are spell immune, anything like that. Anytime that you can't leverage your spells where you need them, if it's a brick of high arm units and they all have like Solus Escorts or Void Leeches to where the spells are now incredibly difficult to get within range of. Stealth can be a problem unless you're playing Slaughter Fleet with the Dirge Seers to get Eyeless Sight. So it's a bit of a balancing act. All in all, I just don't think Scourge and Slaughter Fleet want to pair it together. I don't think they can't play into armor. I don't think that's the case at all, but I don't think you want to put them side by side. Ghost Fleet, I think, is fallen out of favor, but not because the list is not playable. It's just not as easy times it used to have with Denegra 1 and Ghost Fleet. I played Terminus fairly with a fair bit of success within Ghost Fleet. I haven't in the past couple months. That list is just as good as it used to. You still get to give the Wraith Engine tough, which is wonderful when it works. A lot of RFP is gone by the wayside, so Ghost Fleet's good. I'm considering putting that back on the table again. In the next coming couple months, I expect to continue to be playing Lich 1 with like a rotating selection of casters in Dark Host or Black Industries. And then when I, stop wanting to play Lich 1, I'll probably look at something in Slaughter Fleet, and then maybe Dark Host or Black Industries with it, Maybe I'll consider going back to Ghost Fleet, and that also wants the Dark Coaster Black Industries, probably as well as its pair. I mean, options are fairly plentiful, but at least for right now, I'm still in the Lich 1 bandwagon, and don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Sounds good. Mine's pretty simple. I'm in a Haley 3 grind. I have not kept track of how many games I have with her, but I would say somewhere in the 25 to 30, possibly a few more, but somewhere around there. Still trying to figure out the nuances. She's just such a difficult caster to master and to be able to play in a timely manner. That I'm just still struggling with my spacing and not jamming myself up and knowing when to drop the cloud wall. There's just so many things that it's been tough. I have been getting much better with her and seeing all the different possibilities that she has to offer and why she's so strong. I'm going to keep continuing down that path, at least until SR 2018. I don't know if anything's going to change. I'm not trying to give any information. Like, I don't have any information. I'm just saying, I don't know if anything's going to change that brings her power level down.
Is there anything that could? So that's an interesting little runoff here, a little tangent, but like, what would they, besides something incredibly drastic? I still think no matter what they have, as long as they still have scenario elements, I don't see a thing that would get her off the table.
I'm not saying it would get her off the table, but something that would, if incorporeal models could no longer contest, that would potentially
Fuck no.
be
Stop
a problem. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm just saying if something like that were to happen, I don't think it would get her off the table. I'm just spitballing on things that may potentially, maybe the Echoes themselves can't contest. Again, doesn't get her off the table, but I don't know. So I've since jumped on the Nemo 3 grind, as far as for my pair. Talked to, you know, a lot of people. I think everyone's pretty dead on. It's probably one of the best, strongest pairs. Nemo just answers so many questions, so I'm playing him at least until his change and the E-Leap change goes in, and then there's going to be some tough decisions. I've been messing around with some Cray lists with a lot of Centurions. That's not the normal list that's been played before. Been messing around with some Striker 3, weirdly enough. Some Striker 2, Siege 1, and then Haley 2 are kind of the casters I've been looking at to put in my pairing. The concern right now has kind of been working on the Gaspy 3 Slayer spam and Denny 2, kind of trying to answer both of those with the same list. And also something that could probably play into Maelox. So we're trying to look at that, because those are the big problems. I mean, anyone that's listened to me talk for the last couple of weeks has known. I mean, those are the things that I and other Signar players, at least the ones I talk to, have been concerned with and have been trying to figure out what to play, especially post Nemo. So, and once I get Haley down, I actually may start experimenting with the Alexia Commandos build. But I think there's just too many models in that right now for me. Like, I just
still
don't
love
need that
list.
Headache. I do too, but I just don't. You know, I've watched Cole play it several times. I've seen some people play it. I think that's just still. I'm having issues jamming myself up with, you know, the normal list, let alone throwing in another 10 plus models with Alexi and the Risen. Like, I don't know. I don't see that right now. That's pretty much it for me. I've just been really trying to, really enjoying sticking with one caster. Not that I've spent a lot of time bouncing around, because I was on Siege 1 for quite a while, Haley 2 for quite a while. But I've really been enjoying just grinding Haley 3 and really learning the lists that I do and don't want to drop her into. And I think that's really been helping me just as a player. I think that's not something that I just innately see. So I have to see it on the table. Like, I have to have the reps. So for me, I think it was good to do that and to stick with somebody for as long as I have been and am going to continue. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I noticed
that. It's about time.
No. About time what? I mean, I played a ton of games with Haley 2 and Mark 2. I knew what I wanted to play her into and what I didn't want to play her into. And I played a significant amount of Siege 1 and Striker 1. And I knew what both of those...
I meant for the Haley... Not you playing a cast.
Oh, getting on Haley 3.
Haley 3 on the shelf since you bought her.
Yeah.
And you'd play her once and be like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely merit to just getting reps in with a caster. Because, like, you know, as many games I've played with Barnabas 2, he has yet to die. And I've put him in the middle of the table and just come at me, bro, and he just doesn't die. And so you get that, you know, that confidence of, okay, I don't have to be afraid with him, you know?
Right,
so.
Right. I mean, I've gotten Haley killed, but now I've gotten a lot better with that, and it's been... been significantly easier keeping her alive and just knowing when to come forward with her and do the things you want to do. And I don't know, I'm really enjoying playing her. I've learned so much about her that it's just been really really fun. So, and like I said, I think for me going forward, the bigger thing is just going to be working on a pair more than anything, just trying to find something that that I want to pair with her post Nemo 3. And it may end up being Nemo 3. I don't know, but
so one thing I kind of wanted to post to all you, cuz all of us are in the same area when it comes to deciding what you're playing, how much of it is like a meta read for us locally? Does what your play change if you're going to a convention to where you should expect to hit more things? I'm happy to answer this first if you'd like.
So I can say for myself that I am definitely becoming way more meta aware for the local meta. You know, specifically since someone is grinding out as many games of Lich 1 as they possibly can, I'm definitely looking at what could possibly answer that going forward, because every time I go to an event, your ass is there.
Yeah, fairly consistent with that.
Yeah, so that's one of the things as you know, being one of the boogeymen, I definitely feel like I need to be prepared to go toe to toe with you if I want to do well. So that's been a factor. And I know recently we were doing the team event for Store Wars, and that really dictated what I was playing. And because we instead of going for a steamroller pair, we tried to do SKUs. So like I was the melee SKU, Trish was a Gatsby 3 Scar 1. So we were doing these SKUs, and we're playing with them at steamrollers, and it kind of sucks, you know, if you don't have a good steamroller pair. So I'm happy to be getting back to that. And it was almost kind of like a reset in which I could sit down and say, okay, what do I need to answer my local steamrollers? So.
Yeah, Brad, I mean, how's it feel being a big dick meta guy now, you know?
He's almost always been a big dick meta guy.
I don't think so. I definitely think I'm on a fairly good streak right now, but this same time last year, I remember the drive home from War Machine Weekend, and up to that point, like in 2017, like I think I only won like one steamroller. Like I just was not doing tremendously well. I think it's only fairly recently that my luck has turned.
You've been
as for,
playing a lot of games. I mean, let's not downplay the how much better you've gotten and how many games you've been getting in the last year.
Sure. I mean, at least for me though, like when I'm playing, you know, I can, and he knows this, but like when I went down to the Baltimore finals, my second list was all due to me knowing that I'd likely hit Anthony Gibbs.
Yep.
It's not usually the list I would have played, but I brought Scar 1 full well knowing that I would likely hit the Sloan gun line. Even though I like hadn't been practicing that list up to that point, I was playing a couple other things. And then I can also remember back in the past, like running through I don't know how many different combinations of lists to try and beat Ireland back when Ossian was like fucking terrorizing our meta in Mark II. I only thought about it earlier today is that I think a lot of the things that I was playing and still now are playing are because of what I expect to see locally. And that then translates for me to conventions. Even though those same lists and same players I'm likely not to hit. What I'm getting at is should what we be practicing in these local steamrollers be like dictated upon what we hit locally, like give us better answers locally, or should it just be like some of the strongest lists we can for the national scene? If you know, assuming that we're planning on going to conventions, which I know probably all of us are planning on going to Nova in September.
I probably will not this year, but
yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to sneak it in. See that. For me, that's I don't plan for the local meta at all. Let's say I were able to make it up to Red Caps this weekend, I wouldn't be planning for pretty much anybody there. But that's just because I would be playing what I would probably be taking to the next convention I go to, and that's just I really only get to play at the conventions right now because they're a big enough event where it's like, no, I'm doing this, and so I can. It's very easy for me to cut open a large swath. So, like, if I do get local games in or I do get a local steamroller in, I'm not changing what I'm playing based on who's there. I'm just happy to get the reps in with what I'm going to be playing at a convention.
If that makes sense. Yeah, I do a similar thing. I don't tend to plan locally, mainly because I'm not seeing the finals. Like, so I don't have to worry about, if I'm going to win, I'm probably going to see Brad or Mike or whoever it may be. I tend to lean towards the I'm bringing what I think is strong as a pairing and hoping I, you know, am covering most of the things. There may be some exception to that. Like, I put Nemo 3 in because we did have more players coming to recent tournaments that were playing Maloc. So I will admit that did change my pairings a little.
Another reason I bring it up is I was speaking with someone else earlier this week about the event that's coming up this Sunday, just like a local steamroller again, but they were sending me their idea of what they could play into Lich One and asking if like this gave them a better answer. I know there's someone that's planning just to beat my list, which was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly fun to play, but it's strange being like the target, like people bringing out targeted lists for myself. I just didn't know how often any of us did that. I know I did when I was, when I knew I'd be hitting a player with like a list that is very much a sweeper, if you will.
I thought it was funny. Yeah. I actually saw somebody online, like not someone local that we knew, talking about like, oh, I'm bringing the Lich One Scourge list, and I was like, oh shit.
Well, I mean it's not just on me. I know Ryan Evans, I'm in a group chat with, is a WTC player out of England and also loves Lich One Scourge. Our lists differ a little bit. Get this, he hates gunslingers or doesn't think they're worth it. He just runs Max Raiders and Double Max Blood Witches. Also takes Saxon over Eilish. So, like, our lists are different. And, like, you won't guess this part, doesn't use a corruptor. So we're, like, on polar opposite ends of the spectrum.
Interesting.
So we were talking about the differences in our lists, and I might test his in a little bit, but I had to get a second use of Blood Witches. I think he's going to test mine, and we'll meet back in the middle. But I know there's other people that play Lich One Scourge, but I think the spots people arrive at are always a little different.
Well, that's one of the beauties of this game, right? Is that it is diverse enough that you can have the same principles or the same ideas and come up with very, very different answers.
Yeah, you can have success with totally different lists. With different lists that have the same core concepts that have you swap out some models here and there, and it doesn't take, they do different things, but it does enough that it's still effective, I guess is the better way to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from like one-off events, then what it sounds like from almost all of us is that, you know, we're not selecting things based on meta, either local or national. How, in which do you arrive at what you're going to be playing then?
I'm not ready for that one. Someone else.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
So, kind of happens whenever I'm just sitting at home bored, or I have a little extra time at work, or using the bathroom, or just kind of scroll through War Room or Conflict Chamber, whatever, and just start looking at models I haven't used in a while. At least now they're kind of dictated to different theme forces, but even in there, like you can find models you haven't used in a little bit. And try and find a way to put them together. So what'll usually happen for me is I'll find a model or a caster that I haven't used in a while, that I think there might be something there with. And by I mean there, I don't mean like necessarily, answering like a meta bully or trying to like, let me phrase it. I'm not selecting it based on being a sweeper or pivot. I'm just selecting a model I think is interesting and then try to build a list, maybe not centered around that, but really utilizes all of its abilities. So I can think of a list like that a little bit ago. I wanted to play a Leviathan list. This is back before Aaron Whaley won, out in Australia with the Denegra 1 list that had the four Leviathans. Four, yeah. So I played, Mort Neighbor 1 with three Leviathans. And then the fourth Jack was, I took a fourth Jack. It was a Seether, and tried to make that work and it did okay. But then for my off list, whenever I kind of have those zanier ideas, I usually stick to something that's a little bit more, a little more grounded, or something that I feel more tested with. And it usually is trying to be different than the first. So I think for that, more Neighbor list pair, I played a Denegra 1 Scourge list pair, which can fight almost against anything. It's Denegra 1, so, I mean, back before she was changed. And Scourge is also just, you know, decent. Before that, I have played some pretty zany Gorshade 1 lists, and that's usually paired with something a little bit more traditional and tested. So at least for me, my ideas kind of usually start with these outlandish, non-conventional lists paired with something pretty safe, and then eventually I like come to my senses and take out some of the frills that are not worth it, and start to refine a list into something that's playable out of something I hadn't played in a fairly long while. And I think that's actually how I started on Lich 1. I mean, I remember playing in Mark 2 a lot of Stixis Raiders, but it was usually always with old Denegra 2 or old Coven. I don't remember playing Lich 1 much at all in Mark 2. I'm sorry, I don't remember playing much of Lich 1 in Mark 2. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think you said it right.
I said it right the first time. Anyway, I think it all started in Mark 3. Just for me fucking around with lists, and it became my favorite caster so far. So that's at least for me how I go about even beginning to build lists. To then come up with a list pair that I like.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm somewhere in between that, I think. It's changed recently. Before, it was more about trying to focus on either finding something to an angle to exploit. And to be fair, this is when I was playing Convergence, which has some odd weaknesses that you have to either ignore completely or try to cover it in a non-traditional manner. And those were definitely, I was looking for the most synergy I could cram into the list, an odd angle that I could push really hard. Switching to trolls for me was twofold. One, it was moving away from, as much as I love Convergence, I think that they have some holes right now that, because of their limited release, are beyond the amount. I'm not saying you couldn't win with them, it becomes a much more like how much you're going to play the list so that you know your list into all of these options, and that's something I don't get a lot of. And switching over to Trolls, I started finding myself taking a lot more of, well, this seems like fun. Like, that's how my lists start off. The Mountain King and the Gristle list. I fully believe that two bombers is probably a more efficient list. But I have a beautiful Mountain King and I want to see it on the table more often. That's one of the places that, and I'm not saying it's a bad list, but I definitely switched over to more, at least the beginning of the list creations, more of a, what do I want to see on the table versus what is the best pairing or the best synergy I can find, which has been, that's also been me kind of stepping back into a more casual-esque approach to the game, I guess, too. But that's where mine's been coming from recently anyway.
Yeah. I think mine is usually through collaboration with other players, whether it's talking about a particular caster, building a list with them, and then, you know, playing it and refining it, or taking a list somebody else has already made and playing it and then swapping stuff around to fit my play style or the thing, you know, the things that I like to have. I mean, I'm traditionally more of a net decker, but I mean, I will make a list. They just usually need a significant amount of tweaking to do. You know, I may come up with a list and go, okay, well, here's what I want it to play into, and why not this? Or how about, what if we swap this for this? So mine tend to be a lot more collaborative, and usually it's because I saw either caster or a list that I was like, oh, I really like that. I want to play that, you know, whether it be the Cray list. The first time I saw that on the table, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to buy a fourth Centurion. Seeing Haley 3 a bunch of times, just finally got to the point where I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Or just needing an answer for something and being like, okay, well, I got to play into this, so go. Or you know, I think the Siege 1 list, you know, came from, like, talking to Dan and hearing Riker and talking about the things that it was playing into, and that answered a lot of the questions I wanted, and I was like, oh, man, like, double Stormstrider and some charges with him. Like, that sounds fucking great. Yeah, like, let's do that. I'm gonna play this list, too. So, that's me. I'm pretty unoriginal when it comes to lists.
So, I mean, one thing to kind of just expand upon that you said is, while I said I make my list just kind of fiddling around, is usually all of those bad ideas I'll send out to other people I know that play Crix, and they'll usually go with, you know, what the fuck are you thinking? And then, like, I'll test it a couple of times, I'll make changes, they'll suggest things that are, like, pretty obvious, and there's a reason, like, people don't use the combination of models that I put together, but, like, I'll still try it anyway. While they will start with me being an idiot by myself, it's usually always put together with help from other people.
Right, right.
And I think the biggest piece of this is, how does the Soretti clan do that when everything is available?
Yeah, so I think that's the hardest part, is focusing. Yeah, I'm pretty much on like a 6-month cycle. I've found going and doing games for the channel is easing my my wandering eye. So that will help, because I want to play with all the stuff, and we have all the stuff. So that's a bad thing. I tend to focus. I think before I was trying to focus on like the national meta, and that really wasn't helping any type of success in the local meta. So I think what I'm going to start doing is try to focus on the local meta, and hopefully that will turn over into success in the national. But we'll have to see.
I mean, you just won the event up at Portal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the one thing that's nice, or, you know, not what you're looking for, is if you keep winning in steamrollers, your rounds going later into the event are pretty much guaranteed to be difficult, trying matchups. Not saying that the players that you know, haven't had the fortune of winning the early rounds won't give you difficult rounds. It's just less, you know, less on the line, or like less, you know, you're not competing for. That there was an event like 2 months ago I went 1-3 at, and by round 3 and 4, after my couple losses, I certainly didn't care as much as if I was, you know, 2-0 or 3-0 at that point. So it's not taking anything away from them as players, but you know, if you're still in that undefeated bracket, you usually have people with a little bit more drive towards a victory for themselves. So what I'm getting at, the piece is if you're pushing to do well locally, and you can have that happen, you'll get more. What's the word for? Like more value out of your like all of your games in each steamroller.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean that's kind of where I want to be at, you know, because it was pretty cool to win that event, and I'm hoping I can continue that success going forward. So,
just stop dodging me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to.
Dodge Brad.
Yep.
My plan is just go to different tournaments that he's going to be at, but that just he goes to all of them, so that doesn't that only works like a quarter of the time.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, no, it is.
I won't be at Portal on Saturday.
Damn it! I won't either. That doesn't help me. Yeah. Anything else on that? I mean, we still didn't really go a full hour today, but I think it's good to give update. Like you said, Pete, I mean, we don't really do that. We don't talk about the faction. I mean, we talk about the stuff that we play, but not so much like our pairings and the things that we're looking, our thought process behind what we're looking forward to. It's kind of more, well, let me ask you guys this. Do you think anything with the, are you looking at things differently with some of the stuff that's coming out, like with the Kador stuff, the Chosen, the Legion changes? Like, has any of that made you guys change your lists or your thought process about lists at all?
Well, I'll go first. I will look at the new things that come out, the new casters that come out for those themes, and generally what those lists want to do. My real quick internal thought is, can I play Lich 1 into that? And so far, the answer has been yes. So nothing has changed. Status quo.
Seems great, Brad. I'm happy for you. Quick. Anybody else?
Suppression tankers seem rough, so that'll be an interesting puzzle to solve, but short of suppression tankers, feel good. Everything's good in Crixland.
Yeah, suppression tankers are going to be rough for a lot of people. I definitely think, like I said, most of my list crafting recently has been more theory crafting, so for me, it has been very prevalent, the new changes, but that's just because they're the ones that the internet, the Among Us thought process of War Machine as a whole, they're what they're concentrating on. I think Armored Core is going to be really interesting for Kador.
Has that made you give any thought to whipping your Kador out? And I mean, obviously I know it has.
Brad,
but yeah, it's hot.
Brad, what faction did I play against you the other day?
I played against some Kador.
Oh.
Yeah, it was some Kador.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm down to getting like one averaging, I guess, probably one game a month or so, and I
so at that point you're like, fuck it, like whatever, like okay,
yeah. It's like I want to play some Kador. I think it wasn't even any of the new stuff. It was the old Butcher 3 list.
I think we called that right at the beginning when that came. Pretty sure we all were like to each other, like, yeah, Ryan's gonna be playing Kador in like a month, so just be ready.
Yeah, which one did fine?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, those gunslingers, man. I did not show them enough respect, and they ripped Kador heavy after Kador heavy just off the table.
Not yeah, with armor debuffs, they could do that. I haven't seen the lists that have really come out yet. I mean, other than I've seen some people playing Animag, but I haven't personally, you know, played that. As far as the new stuff, I know that's not really in line with exactly what I'm saying, but so I haven't. I've been giving it thought in the Signar group, like we've been talking about that, but I don't think a lot of the lists have really come to fruition yet. So I think that'll just come as the cons come and we start seeing some of those lists either perform well or just become not problematic, but just become common. But certainly the armor skew, at least for Signar, has been is something that's being talked about a lot amongst the people that I talk to. Pete, anything on that?
Man, I don't know. It's one of those things where I feel like we almost have a little bit of a delay as the new stuff comes out and gets into our local meta.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think we're more apt to see it, you know, if we go to Nova or War Machine Weekend or something like that. But I think we're like a 1 to 2 month delay as stuff filters into the local meta.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving it as much thought as probably I should be.
Yeah, I guess none of us have a con coming up either for the next couple. I mean, you have a tournament, but like as far as Masters, there's not really one for you guys till Nova. So
I mean, speaking of upcoming tournaments, so that's been on the forefront of my mind. In a week and a half, I'm stealing Baby Spice Soretti, and three other players and myself are going up to Canada for the TEQ. So it's a WTC style event, taking place in Montreal, similar to the OTC. But I think it's much more centered with players out of, the province of Quebec. The team that I'm coming up with, I think is the, only American team. So we're the only, representative stateside. And I don't even think there's many other teams from outside the province. So, it's going to be us faking our way through knowing French the entire time.
Oh, that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully someone on a team of five speaks English so we can at least do the pairing process, and then we'll have to like pantomime what we're declaring during our activations against some players maybe, but I think we'll be okay. The rules of the game, I think...
I mean, they do WTC. Like, I think everything translates, you know, decently well. So.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. But that's been coming out. So it's been a lot of, at least for myself, coordinating with the team, planning what lists we're playing to complement each other. We're able to look through a couple other team events on Conflict Chamber, both the other OTC out in Australia that just took place this past weekend, and one a couple other weeks ago that took place somewhere else in Quebec, another city in Quebec. So we've been looking through to see what kind of lists we're seeing there and how we would line up into those teams and if we want to make changes, because list lock is, I think, Saturday. So we have, from the time of recording this, 2 days to make any changes if we want to. So I think we're fairly locked in, but I like look at Conflict Chamber every day to make sure I didn't fuck up putting the list in. That's my biggest fear is that like we get to the event and like Attilio looks at his list and goes like, you know, where's this model on this list? And I go, it's not there. So, sorry.
Yeah, whoopsie daisy.
Little paranoid with that. But I mean, so that's between Star Wars, which is coming off that TEQ coming up, and Boker Brawl in October. I'm like full team event thought process right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool time to be war machining. I've grown fond of team events.
I think it's the and we're really kind of getting away from where we were at before, but who fucking cares? I really think it's the better way to play War Machine. Especially, it's a couple reasons for that. It's bringing in the social contract into the game, which I think is part of the reason we all play this game, is that we like talking to other people and forming those friendships and bonds over time. But then secondly, like with a lot of steamroller pairs, especially for some factions or for some theme forces right now, you just can't answer the entire field. I can give a prime example for that. I feel like a lot of ret list pairs are double defenders. You have a couple lists that show up in Shadows. You have a couple that show up in Forges. But for the most part, the majority of lists are either defenders in X or defenders in defenders. And that list pair doesn't answer everything. So you end up having holes in what you can play against if it's a single player event. But if you play in a team event and you can try to put yourself into matchups and get away from the ones you can't, especially if you're complementing other lists on your team to give the opposing team difficult choices when you put forward two of your players into one of theirs, I think the team dynamic adds another level of like internal balance, similar to how like the meta kind of always shifts things in terms of like what's good. Like it's very easy to define what in the vacuum is just the best model, but if you take things to beat the best model, it's no longer the best thing. And I think team events bring a new edge to that. It one allows those things that are objectively just good to really sing, because it puts pressure on the other teams to have an answer for it. And secondly, it allows for skews that you normally couldn't get away with in single events to have a place in them, because it will again put pressure on players in that team that just don't have an answer for that hard of a skew. I don't know. I think team events are really quite astounding.
Yeah, I enjoy them. I love team events. I even like the three-player one, just with the captain. Like, I've always loved that. But I mean, now that I've played in other events, yeah, I prefer them. I prefer anything similar to WTC style over that. But I still really just enjoy everything about them. They're a blast.
I like the extra dynamic. Like Brad was saying, I like the extra dynamic of team events where something that is perceived as weak or a hole that's part of the actual, especially in the WTC style, where you can cover weaknesses of a whole faction, and it lets you do very different things with your lists. And I think that adds such a refreshing of, well, I've never seen that list before, because it couldn't be paired in a normal steamroller.
Yeah. I like seeing that too. You do get a lot of those lists where you're like, oh my god, that's so awesome, but you know you wouldn't see it at a con. You know you wouldn't play it in a tournament most likely, but because it's answering something specific, you get to see. There's definitely a lot more creativity in list building in those type of events than just a normal Masters, I think.
I also think for the kind of things we're describing about the list that you can bring, I think that's also true in Trinity events. I think you find that third yep. list for a handful of players becomes that more outlandish thing that they can't get away with in a two-list pair.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think it'd be interesting to see if maybe not this coming year, but in 2019, if the Masters packet or the distinction between like a regular Steamroller or Masters or Champions goes back to a three-list event.
That'd be really cool, because then you'd see a lot more of those.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way of saying that it will. I also find it unlikely that it will, but it's from playing at the Sioux and from running our own event down this way with three lists, I really enjoy three list formats.
Yep, I would agree. Just not a three list where you have to pick a list to drop. No, I'm just kidding. I still thought that was fun, but
we'll do it the other way next time, where you get to kill one of your opponents.
Yeah, I would try that. I think there's. I agree with you in that I think that's got a lot more potential for to give really bad
matchups. Just to clarify for those that are, you know, don't know where we're at right now, I ran an event locally that was a three list format, but at the beginning of each like list pairing process against your opponent, you would simultaneously with your opponent declare one of your three lists that you would not be playing. So like a self-targeted elimination. From there, you'd have two lists that are still eligible you played, and then you would do the normal list reveal of what you're actually playing. So at the end of the event, I asked for feedback if we did something similar again, if we just want to do a regular Trinity to where, you know, you see your opponent's three lists, they see you see theirs, and you both just simultaneously pick what you're playing, run it the same way we did, or go with the version where you can kill one of your opponent's lists. So you get to see their three lists, they see yours, then you both simultaneously pick one of your opponent's lists, they pick one of yours, that you guys cannot play, and then you do the list selection out of the remaining two. So my reasoning for not doing that the first time was that, yeah, you can end up having a player, for example, bring and we'll use Signar for an example. They bring triple Gravediggers, and they snipe out the one opponent's list that can answer, you know, 30-plus infantry models. So now that the, you know, one's probably a Haley 3, one's probably a Siege 2, and one's, you know, who, you know, pick a caster. So mind you, they get to snipe out a list as well, but no matter what they're left with at the end, your opponent still has double Gravediggers.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Not necessarily being abused, because it's not, you know, it's part of, it would be part of the game, but I could see there's a lot of places where, like, all right, I can't play into Legion with anything unless I take this caster A, or, you know, I can't play into anything unless I take caster B. Well, they snipe that out, and so your faction just doesn't have access. Ghost Fleet would be another one where it's like, all right, that list has RFP. That's gone. I drop Ghost Fleet into an almost auto win, or at least an easy road win, because they only had RFP in one of their lists. I could definitely see that being an issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way of saying that it will or won't happen. It's just my only concern. I'm going to run it like that the next time we do it. But, I mean, it all circles back to between these Trinity events to team events to just individual steamrollers. I find it fascinating how much time and thought is put into the list we're playing. I say all that because these past 2 weeks have been me studying other team events and coordinating for TEQ.
All right. Anything else, guys? I think we got to do a little deep dive on ourselves and what's been going on, so I think that was cool. So what else? We'll try to get some more stuff for next week.
So next week we'll have the feedback from the first Liberty Brawl event.
Yep.
It'll be, I think, a perfect time to review the list from TEQ, because list lock will be this weekend, so we'll be able to see all the lists and talk about what we're playing. Because I haven't said anything that we're playing yet, although I bet you guys can guess I'm playing which one. short of that, you know, one of ten. We'll talk about all of our lists and why we put them together as such, and go forward from there. I don't know. I always thought we did well when we talked about, like, the WTC lists or OTC or ATC lists.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I am excited. So, all right, I think we'll call it there. So, I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
I'm Pete.